Intelligent Medicine is brought to you in part by FullScript, my exclusive online supplement dispensary. FullScript is the most trusted source for professional-grade supplements. It's safe, secure, and with FullScript's refill reminders, it's totally effortless to stay on track with your supplement protocols. Go to DearHoffman.com and click on the store to create your FullScript account today.
Happy New Year, and welcome to Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mudin, nutritionist here in New York City. If you'd like to make an appointment with me, please call my office, 212-779-1744. All this month of January, I'm going to be giving you tips, some advice, maybe a new one every week, along with answering your questions, talking about the latest in health and wellness information. I have an email from Marie. Happy and healthy New Year. Thank you for all your wonderful information on Intelligent Medicine. Love listening to you, Marie. Thank you, Marie, and thank you so much for listening to Intelligent Medicine. We really appreciate it. We're getting more and more downloads of these podcasts, Dr. Hoffman and I, and we're very excited. We're very happy to bring you all of this information. As I wanted to say here, I have a question from, let's see here. I have a question from DG. DG, I imagine, are initials. So DG writes, thank you, Layla, for your podcast and extensive knowledge. Although done in the year 2011, this is very troubling research, since the study seems to be well-designed. Can you comment? When visiting my doctor this week, she insisted that a thoroughly researched article in the Journal of the American Medical Association showed that supplements cause mortality in older women. I did a search on the Journal of the American Medical Association, and indeed, this is a very large study. This was based on, let me just give you a little background, the Iowa Women's Health Study. This health study was designed to examine associations between several host dietary and lifestyle factors and the incidence of cancer in postmenopausal women. They assessed the use of vitamin and mineral supplements in relation to total mortality in over 38,700 older women in this Iowa Women's Health Study. The mean age was about 61 and a half years old at baseline, which was in the year 1986. Supplement use was self-reported in 1986, 1997, and 2004. And through December 2008, a total of 15,594 deaths, about 40%, were identified through the State Health Registry of Iowa and national deaths. So, and what the scientists have written there, quote, in agreement with our hypothesis, most of the study supplement were not associated with a reduced total mortality rate in women. In contrast, we found that several commonly used dietary vitamin and mineral supplements, including multivitamins, vitamin B6, folic acid, as well as minerals, iron, magnesium, zinc, and copper, were associated with a higher risk of total mortality. Of particular concern, supplemental iron was strongly and dose-dependently associated with increased total mortality risk. Also, the association was consistent across shorter intervals, strengthened with multiple use reports, and with increasing age at reported use. Okay, so DG, this study has been debunked, and I'm going to go over the reasons why. First of all, when your doctor said that this study in JAMA, Journal of the American Medical Association, showed that supplements cause mortality. This is an association study, not a causation study. A causation study would involve the use of randomized controlled trials, double-blinded, not the use of association or observational studies. And I want to tell you, a frequent use when you're reporting, self-reported of what I ate and what I took in 1986, 1997, and 2004, there will be recall bias there. Okay? Food frequency questionnaires, which are typically used in these types of observational research, are notorious for not being reliable at all, if not valid as well, because of recall bias. Nobody's going to remember what they took, let alone the formulation. Now, some details about this Iowa Health study. Different forms of vitamin D, for example, D3 or D2, were not distinguished. Well, here's what we know about vitamin D3, cholecalciferol, versus D2, which is ergocalciferol. Ergocalciferol, or D2, which is more often the prescription form of vitamin D that I believe now doctors are prescribing less and less, D2 can actually deplete or compete with D3 in our biochemistry, in our metabolism, and win. So there are actually dangers to taking D2 as opposed to D3. And in the study, these two different forms were not distinguished. Okay. Dose was assessed uniformly across three surveys for particular vitamins like A, C, D, E, and for certain minerals. No dose information was collected, however, for vitamin B6 at baseline or for vitamin D in 2004. So we don't even know the amount of vitamin D that was taken in 2004. And although the dietary supplement portion of the food frequency questionnaire used in the study was not validated separately, that's another concern. These were not validated separately. They used some other statistical methods to make up for this bias, but it doesn't overall work that well. And here were some other concerns, okay, in this Iowa Women's Health study. The study was based on participants' recollections of supplements they took many years before, which are notoriously unreliable. That's just what I said a moment ago. The majority of harms seen in that study were due to inappropriate dosing of iron and copper. Remember, this study was done on postmenopausal women, the average age of which was 61 and a half years old. And inappropriate dosing of iron and copper, these nutrients don't necessarily need to be supplemented in postmenopausal women. In fact, dosing of iron in postmenopausal women can be dangerous. There is no longer the monthly shedding of iron with menstruation. So postmenopausal women will have a buildup of iron. Any buildup of iron in the body can be dangerous, may feed infection, and can eventually become toxic to the heart. Postmenopausal women don't need to load up on iron and copper. And thirdly, the quality of the supplements used was unclear. What kind of multis were they? Discount multis taken without supervision. They cannot be equated with targeted supplementation dispensed under guidance from nutrition professionals. Would you not agree? Another point, many of the conscientious vitamin takers were also taking estrogen pills, which could account for the finding of a slight increase in heart risk. This is why, DG, that this study has been debunked. And I've just read you some excerpts from Dr. Hoffman's article. You could go read it at drhoffman.com. The title of that article is Don't Take Your Vitamins, So Not. And this came out several years ago when the vaccine pioneer Paul Offit was claiming that vitamins also increase mortality risk. These have all been debunked. Let me give you also another example. Other studies marshaled to demonstrate the danger of antioxidant supplements are beset with methodological problems. Okay? In one off-sited study, Finnish smokers were unexpectedly found to have an increased risk of lung cancer when taking synthetic beta-carotene. Why? Many of them were alcoholics, and it's thought that it impaired their liver function. Combined with the effects of cigarettes, converted the beta-carotene into a cancer-promoting prooxidant. Okay? But what does a study like this have to do with the potential protection afforded to healthy, non-alcoholic, non-smokers who take modern formulations of high-quality mixed tocopherols? And we also know that with many vitamin E studies, and this is really unfortunate because this continues to happen when it comes to vitamin E. Certain studies have cast doubt on its efficacy, but virtually all these studies were performed using cheap, poor quality D-alpha tocopherol, something that's been abandoned. In the early 1990s, we now use mixed tocopherols and rich in gamma tocopherol because we know, even though these scientists who used it in these studies didn't know, which is unfortunate, methodological flaw. Yes, yes. They didn't know that taking solely the D-alpha tocopherol form of vitamin E endangers the other tocotrienols and the other tocopherols in the body, actually depletes them. The same way as taking one particular B vitamin only and not with a complex of B vitamins may deplete the other B vitamins. So these are really the methodological flaws in this study. I hope this answers your question. Do tell your doctor that this is not a causation study, that supplements do not cause mortality in older women. Association does not equal causation. That is a scientific fact. Now, I want to go on to another tidbit this month in January. I want to help you to change your habits because it's a great time. We all have New Year's resolutions, right? To establish some new habits. Last week, I talked about how eating is a behavior. And if you're the first one to finish your meal at the plate, it's time to contemplate your eating behavior. It's time to evaluate that eating behavior and say, hey, why am I eating so fast? And when we eat that fast, you know, we never feel full. So we're getting seconds and thirds quite readily after. It takes about 20 minutes for the stretch receptors in our gut to send, in our stomachs, to send the message to the brain that, hey, we're full. Stop eating. That's why it's a better idea to eat slowly. It gives your brain the chance to get the message of, oh, I'm slowly getting full. I don't need that second portion, or I don't need that third portion. Now, do one other thing this month. Change your breakfast. Just this one thing can have far-reaching, really good outcomes for you. Change the behavior of making a not-so-healthy choice at breakfast, like a bowl of cold cereal, a donut, a muffin, to a healthier option, a vegetable omelet, maybe some poached eggs, some leftover sardines, or some salmon with some cucumber, watercress, watercress, dill, tomato. Chop all these up. Have it with your salmon or your sardines. Maybe even add a little bit of mustard to those sardines with some chopped onion. It's absolutely delicious. Let me tell you why. Yes, breakfast is the most important meal of the day, but the real importance of changing your breakfast is it has the power to impact your eating behavior for the rest of the day. When you eat the proper breakfast instead of a high carb breakfast, you basically set up your blood sugar, you stabilize your blood sugar for as much as 50% of your day. That's pretty powerful, right? When you've eaten the proper breakfast and you've basically stabilized your blood sugar, you're not going to be hungry for lunch before lunchtime. In other words, you're not going to be hungry for lunch at 10:30. Hey, you just had breakfast a couple of hours ago. Why should you be hungry for lunch? Well, it could be because you had a bowl of cereal or even a bowl of oatmeal. That can do it too. It's still cereal. I know it's a whole grain, but even whole grains are problematic for a whole lot of people. So there is that. You want to, if you just change that breakfast to something perfect, an omelet, some leftover protein from lunch or dinner the day before, maybe a little chicken salad, shrimp salad, even a little bit of good quality smoked salmon on a bed of arugula, something like that, can change your eating habits for the rest of the day because it sets up your blood sugar to be stable. This is very important. Because here's the difference. When we start the day with a high-carb breakfast, what will eventually happen is now we're hungry for the rest of the day. Now we're really hungry for the rest of the day. So instead of concentrating on making your dinner perfect or your lunch perfect, it's way more important to make your breakfast perfect because of the impact it has on your blood sugar. When we get up in the morning, we have an opportunity to either stabilize our blood sugar or destabilize it. So let's choose to stabilize it. Now, more in the news, and this is coming out of, you know, all the things about diet, which wins as far as, you know, the ratings. The best weight loss diets, and this comes out every new year, Weight Watchers topped the list of best weight loss and best commercial diet plans, and it tied with the Health Management Resources Program diet, which involves purchasing meal replacements such as shakes, nutrition bars, multigrain cereals, and adding vegetables and fruits to round out the meals. So, these are the top weight loss diets. Now, with regard to Weight Watchers, I'm a huge fan of the support that Weight Watchers embodies. So the emotional support, the group meetings actually do lead to higher compliance than do-it-yourself dieting. That's why I'm a fan of getting some nutrition counseling to help motivate you to stay on track. These group meetings can do all of that too. Now, the problem I have with Weight Watchers is the point system method. You know, if you're given daily points of 20 to 26 or 27 points a day, you could eat anything you want. That includes junk. A bag of Doritos is about 7 points, did you know? But if you work that into your point system, you can eat it. A bag of Doritos is also junk, full of anti-nutrients, colorings, hyper-palatable flavorings that are sure to leave you wanting more. Who could just eat one chip, right? So that's a problem. Now, what came out on the bottom of the list, and this is unfortunate, the ketogenic diet, as long as the Whole 30. These are both very popular low-carb diets that hit the bottom of the list. And unfortunately, the tie for first place, here's what they did. The well-researched Mediterranean diet moved into first place, tied with the DASH diet. DASH diet, which stands for Dietary Approaches to Stop Hypertension. Now, if I take the DASH diet and I look at and I compare it with the, quote, bastardized Mediterranean diet, which is what health practitioners here in America have done to the Mediterranean diet, is they've bastardized it to include too many whole grains, very little protein with the exception of fish. Mediterranean diet, hello, where's the lamb? Where's the, you know, besides seafood, where's the lamb? Where's the meat? Where's the poultry? So this is unfortunate. And of course, you know, we're getting this news from from CNN, not my favorite source for any kind of news, for that matter. But the DASH diet is a very high-carb diet. It can be effective for anyone trying to lower their blood pressure if that person was already on a very junk food diet. Sure, because anything is going to be an improvement from that. However, both the bastardized Mediterranean diet, in my opinion, because it's really shown to look more like the food guide pyramid or the government's My Plate, where there's just too much use of whole grains in both of these diets, the Mediterranean as well as the DASH diet. You know, if you go to Greece and you look at their Mediterranean diet, there's a lot more fat and protein there than you're going to find in what is being called the Mediterranean diet in this country. So that's unfortunate. Ketogenic diet, Whole30 diet, has already been shown to reverse pre-diabetes, diabetes, fix all kinds of abnormal biochemistries, take care of things like metabolic syndrome. This has already been shown, and what this article in CNN is saying, there's scant, we should avoid these diets altogether, the ketogenic diet and the Whole30 diet, because there was not enough evidence to know whether these diets that would help those with heart disease and diabetes, and that is absolutely incorrect. So I'm weighing in on that. Ketogenic diet, Whole30 diets are very appropriate diets for those seeking health, as is the real Mediterranean diet. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine.
As an Intelligent Medicine listener, you know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, professional grade, and effective. But vetting your sources and tracking down the exact products you need can be a hassle. That's why I use FullScript as my online dispensary, so I can send you, my patients and listeners, the exact products you need straight to your door by speedy delivery. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere. The best part, FullScript sends out refill reminders when you're running low, so it's totally effortless to stay on track with your supplement protocols. Go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to create your FullScript account, or ask your healthcare provider to sign you up for FullScript. If you are a healthcare provider, sign up for a free FullScript account at fullscript.com/intelligentmedicine. FullScript is the most trusted source for professional-grade supplements. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant, and they offer world-class support. Get started at drhoffman.com and click on the store.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.